The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, if you have gone to or watched a wedding ceremony, no doubt you've heard 1 Corinthians 13. What gets missed is the grammatical connection to this portion. What is connected to a person, number, gender, tense, aspect, mood, or voice? The answer is just like movie instructions. We'll get there in a minute. Next, Pastor Ray offers a devotional about the wilderness journey. It can be lonely, it can be painful, and it can be humbling. Afflictions and trials can be very exhausting, but God uses everything to teach his kids the most incredible things. And finally, what the law proclaims one way, God declares a different way. Don't be confused. The law establishes the holy requirements of engaging with God, but there is a more important principle in play, and that principle is called mercy. What should be a curse can become a blessing.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T answers the phone, and when she answers the phone, it's just like being first in line for something you want. That's cool. I like it. Keep in mind, you're the first in line. I mean, that's good, right? All right. There you go. Winner, winner. Keep in mind, any topic, of course, is open for conversation. And the reason that we bring this up is because you can have praise reports, prayer requests. You can have answers to trivia, share with something the Lord's working on. We try to answer questions as long as they're not too deep, or if I say, well, I need a little more time to get back to you on that. So if you're going to ask me about the tension between in eschatology between election and predestination, that's not something I'm going to answer in a five-minute show, since they've been working on that for thousands of years. But that doesn't mean we don't approach it. It just means those are not the kind of quick questions I can answer you. Or if you ask a question like, well, who was the other disciple that was chosen after Judas? And I say Matthias, you'll get an answer right away. So it all depends, right, on what we're talking about and where we're heading. And even in the last segment, I couldn't even quote the Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. What's misquoted often is that they say pride goes before a fall, and it's just like that's not what it is. It's just like, okay, misquote. But the point of that, and again, the point of all this is, look, our goal is to encourage one another as we see the day approaching, strengthening one another, lifting one another up. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist. I don't care if you're charismatic. None of that matters if you genuinely love Jesus Christ, that you and you believe he died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. If you understand, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life, then you're welcome in any capacity. And even if you don't understand that on this show, you're still welcome to participate with us. How about that? Doesn't even matter. So let's offer up our next trivia question. It's a little easier. We had the previous one. Here's the next one. And to keep it simple the way that you think it needs to be kept simple, this is out of Psalm 68. Who is the ultimate judge and defender of widows? Who is the ultimate judge and defender of widows? Keep it as simple as you think it should be. That's going to be your answer. You're welcome to call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email david@hemustincrease.org. Speaking of the website, please go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichoke. And we have told you before that okie dokie and artichoke are all three theological terms. All right, so the question is a straightforward. We're not looking for something fancy. We're looking for the most simplistic possible answer. Who is the great and ultimate judge and the defender of widows? Who would that be? Psalm 68 is where you would get that answer. Psalm 68, I can't tell you what verse because you got to look it up. The only thing we ask people is not to Google it. Not because we're against you Googling it. We just, in this case, we want you to search. I mean, look it up. Look in your concordance. Look it up in the Bible. I mean, you can look at Psalm 68. That's okay. All right. We have somebody you think was going to answer. Are they going to answer? Yep, they're going to answer the trivia question. All right, I'm leaning over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David.
Hi, Mary.
This is Mary.
Hi.
I've been out of the loop for a while.
How have you been?
Well, I have good days and bad days. The good days, so I praise the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord. That's great to hear. I'm glad to hear that. I'm sorry for your bad days. I know those are hard.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
You are more than welcome. All right. Now, Mary, this is a simple, straightforward kind of question coming out of Psalm 68. Who is the ultimate judge and the defender of the widows?
Jesus Christ.
That's right. Now, give me how he would be known in the Old Testament. What's the three letters we use? The in the beginning.
Oh, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God?
Right, in the beginning, God. So, yes, the Lord, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, in the beginning,
Christ.
God. That's
there
fine.
You
I'm
go.
John.
I know what you were saying. I knew it. I knew.
Oh, is today really your birthday?
No, that was a replay from before. That's why I had told people. So our birthday was in December, but Joy and Cordy had called up and sang a wonderful serenade, and I just wanted to – I like to replay it every so often. I like that Jennifer replays it because it's funny. And it's cute, and I think it's really encouraging, and they did such a nice job. So.
Okay. All right. Well, great.
All right. Well, great job, Mary.
I thank the Lord, too, for many years I've been alive. Hey. Yeah, you know, we need to thank the Lord. You know, sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I thank the Lord for preserving giving me another day, preserving my life for another day.
Amen. You're wonderful. I love you, Mary. Love you in the Lord.
Well, I love you too. I really enjoy your program. So, okay.
Thank you.
Keep the faith, and we'll talk again, okay?
Okay. Alrighty. God bless.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And she's sweet. She's wonderful. Okay. So don't forget to be praying for Mary. See, that's another good example. You should be praying for Mary. You should be praying for Cordy and Joy. You should be praying for Ace. You should be praying for all the people that go through it. You should be praying for Sam. You should be praying for Sam's wife. Okay. All right, I got to do this, or I'm never going to, I'll never get to it. And the next segment's going to be a lot tougher, so let me get to this. Ready? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love endures. This is out of the Amplified version. So for those that are trying to figure out what I'm doing, I'm going to tell you. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. It is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag. Love is not proud or arrogant. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily provoked, nor overly sensitive, nor easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when the right people, when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, and endures all things without weakening. These are the basics on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7, definitions of love. And if you've ever gone to a wedding, somebody has read, love is kind, love is patient, love is, I mean, you've heard it, okay? I don't care who's saying it, who's reading it. The pastor makes reference to it, some kind of, it's always in there, okay? I've been to 40 weddings. I've failed to see it. I've seen 100 weddings. I've failed to ever hear this on there. Here's the funny thing about this whole text. Ready? Get ready. Ready? Yeah, you're going to hate me. Ready? They're all verbs. They're all verbs. All the definitions for love are verbs. You're thinking, what does that mean? Well, a verb is an action word. It's something that you do. It's not a feeling. It's a doing. Get it? Doesn't mean that love doesn't have any feelings attached to it. We're not talking about that. When we're talking about Christian love, we're talking about doing. It's a verb. It's an action word. It requires action. I gave you the softest definitions translation-wise from the Amplified Bible. It's still a verb. Love one another. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? Hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here I go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us. Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see. Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon, and that the gates of hell have never, nor will ever, prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, for those that just heard the interview with the Apostle Peter, that was obviously... I shouldn't have to explain that. But what you might not catch, which is really funny in the dialogue, because when I'm not going to school, this is what I have time to do besides prep for the show, is this kind of stuff. What's really funny is that Peter goes, that's a great question, Dave. See, I said that to myself. See, it's just so arrogant. It's so arrogant. It's kind of funny. All righty, let's get to the next thing. We've got our next trivia question. See, I think that's funny. In what book of the Bible do you find the words, it is more blessed to give than receive? Hint, it's not in the Gospels. It is more blessed to give than to receive. What book of the Bible is that located in? You can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. There you go on that. In the meantime, while you're getting ready for that, I'm going to do a little bit of switching around for some of the things I'm going to be teaching. I do have it's not really a joke. I have this whole group of jokes that I want to do later on, but these are the 10 things to learn from the story of Noah's Ark, okay? So I'm going to let T vote on whether they're, You know, you can listen to them and just tell me what you think is the best or the worst or anything that you want to do. It's up to you. Okay? All right. Here we go. The 10 funny things that you can learn from the story of Noah's Ark. Number one, don't miss the boat. Okay, that's a good one. Okay. Number two, remember that we're all in the same boat. That's just good to know. Number three, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Ooh. Good. Okay. Got a buzz. Don't listen to critics. Just get the job done that needs to be done. Okay. That's all right. Yay! Build your future on higher ground. See, because he was building an ark. for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Okay. This is a good, you'll like this one. Speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. See, that is good. All right. Here's some just good practical advice. When you're stressed, float a while. All right. This is a great one. The last one's a nicey, but this is a great one. Remember, the Ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. I like that. And then no matter the storm, when you are with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. All right. Nice, right? Now that I've given you all that softness, nice, and we've been really nice about everything, it's time to get a little real. Okay, you ready for the real part? Now, I love you guys. I mean, I don't have any animosity towards, well, most anybody. That guy that cut me off today driving to the freeway, that was a little irritating. So I'm just telling you the truth. For the trivia question, don't forget, the question is, what book of the Bible do you find it is more blessed to give than receive? That's a trivia question. Anyway, I don't have really animosity towards, but I'm just trying to use the, you know, I've been a Christian for about 43 years, and I'm trying to use the faith that I've gone through, born and raised Jewish, became a Christian, have Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination, just think that the denominations are fine if they'd stop beating each other up. If you want to identify as this part of the band or this part of the band, I don't have a problem with that, as long as it's not to the exclusion of the other parts. Okay, that's kind of where I come from. And, you know, you raise your kids, you do your best you can as a parent, you try to communicate to your kids your faith to some degree. You're communicating with them and with your siblings. So I have one sibling. My brother actually led me to the Lord, and my sister is not connected to the Lord in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, we keep praying for her every day for 43 years. The bottom line is that you go through this process, and everybody goes through the ups and downs. And I don't want to make light of it, and we do have a lot of fun, and we have energy, but I also want us to be real about the faith. So on our website, hemustincrease.org, I have put up something that my daughter wrote. It's very touching, very difficult. For those that don't know, they have three children. They have Addie Bug, Isaiah Anthony, and Easton Scott. Easton Scott's the youngest, a little over a year old, and actually about a year and a half old. And he was born with tremendous, tremendous challenges, and he is in need of full-time care to survive child. Okay? All right. So that's hard, but, you know, when Julianne and I talked, and that's my daughter, I told her, I said, if God didn't believe that you were capable, it's not something you would have really went through in that capacity to the point of your faith. You're going to have to let go and trust God for so many things, but God knows you'll be able to get through this. He knows you'll prevail through it because he has confidence in you, and I have confidence in you, and God's confidence in you is better. So we've talked, and she's a very, very committed to the faith. She's married to a youth pastor, so it's been a really hard time for them, and I'm going to read you what she wrote, what I put on the website, and some of you are going to be like, ooh, but I don't want you to be. I want you to recognize that this is what real faith reads like. And this is something she said after they just got out of the hospital a couple of days ago. And they've been in and out of the hospital 100 times. And he's on, like I said, full-time care. And when he goes home, he's got all these machines and so on. So this is what she wrote. Sometimes I just don't have the words to express. This is hard. It's really hard. And it feels impossible. It doesn't feel fair. And to be totally honest, sometimes I can't even allow myself to feel at all. Because what will happen if I do? Will I be able to pull myself back together? I don't know. I'm not at the point where I can even let myself think about our long-term future or Easton's future. But what I do know is we couldn't have made it this far on our own. It's just not possible. It's like I'd like to think I'm strong, but this is some next level stuff, which tells me the only way that we've been able to take another step or to breathe is through Jesus. And we will continue to do our best to step in line with him. There's just no other way. So the reason I read that to you is not, well, I guess in a sense I'm bragging about my daughter, but I'm more bragging about what real faith looks like when we're having a hard time. So I mentioned this the other day, that faith, when things are going great, faith is a lot rosier. There's a lot more cotton candy. There's a lot more carnival atmosphere. But faith when things are hard, that's the genuineness, the test of the faith, the gold of the faith. And so when the Lord talks about our trials or our testings, if you look at James chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1, you find out that the testing of our faith produces faith that God considers of high value, of great gold, greater than gold on the earth, but gold in the kingdom of God. And so true gold in the kingdom of God is faith that's tested and stands. And it doesn't mean that every moment is solid. It doesn't mean that your feelings are always joyful. It means actually from time to time that you are just like the the Apostle Paul said, we had the answer of death if we trusted in ourselves. There was nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to do. We have nothing. We can do nothing. So our faith is fully in him who resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. Again, there's nothing more powerful than the resurrection, and our trust and our confidence needs to be in the Lord. That does not negate that faith and standing in faith has moments that are hard. And I think the idea is Christians are told you've either got to capture this overly positive attitude or this completely negative attitude, and neither of those extremes are right, which is why the Bible says don't walk to the left or the right. Walk straight ahead. You can have moments where your faith is surging and it moves you to sense the peace and the grace of God and gives you that sense of closeness with him. Then you'll have moments where you're more distant and you have to fight and crawl your way back up, just like King David said, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. You'll go through both of those. When Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and life more abundant, there's nothing in that passage in the Greek or anywhere else that says it's all positive. There's nothing, zero. It's just the fullness of life and that you'll enjoy it with God walking with you if you connect with Jesus Christ. And you'll go up and you'll go down. You will ultimately win. You will ultimately prevail, be it on this earth or in the world to come. But you cannot sit there and imagine that there won't be harder moments. And all you have to do to consider the reality check in this is think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what he was about to face and surrendering to the Father. That's what the requirements are. That's what real faith reads like. That's what God asks of us. You can bring your petition, come to the garden, leave it there. The Father's will be done. Not mine, but thy will be done. That's the prayer. Okay? All right. Okay, in answer to the trivia question, what book of the Bible do you find the words, it is more blessed to give than receive? The answer is Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where it says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. A lot of people think it's in the Gospels. That would be incorrect. We're going to take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So. But, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know, so you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, here we go. Our next trivia question. All right. John, the Apostle John, wrote the Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation. What other New Testament books did he write? John, the Apostle John, right? John, right? Peter, James, John. John wrote the Gospel of John, Revelation, right? And what other books did he write? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. Or you can text 214-210-8483. The question is all about John. John wrote the Gospel of John, so that's really good. And Revelation. Okay, wow, what a moment! What other books did he write? There, or what are the letters or books, letters? So it's fine because the word biblos or letter, it's all connected. Doesn't matter. See if you can answer that question, then you can go from there. All right, what else do we need to cover? We need what? We got history. History. Website. That's a good idea. Boy, without you, I don't know what I do. All right. Don't forget the website. This is, by the way, where you can give. And if you don't give, fine. And if you give, we appreciate it. And it helps keep things going. And we don't make a lot, but we sure have a lot of fun. All right. Here's the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, before we get to history, let me repeat that trivia question, because some people are like, let's say that again. I will. All right. In the New Testament, the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation. What else did he write in the New Testament? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Think towards the end. Think towards the end of the New Testament. In the meantime, so if you want to get in touch with us, you'd think I'd know these numbers by now. 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. In the meantime, we're going to do a little bit of history. Let's do our history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, a couple things there is today. There are today, or is of a today. School Bus Driver's Day. That's a little recognition for those that drive the school bus. You ever been on a school bus? I mean, have you ever?
Always.
Yeah.
I've always been on a school bus.
So sometimes it was fun. Sometimes it wasn't. That it depended. In Michigan, it was really dependent on the weather. So in Michigan, when it would snow, not as fun. I remember back then, they didn't have, I don't know if they have seatbelts now. I don't know. We never had seatbelts. It was hang on for your life kind of thing. That's what I remember. Anyhow, that's what it is. Also, Morse Code Day. Now, that's Morse Code. Like, it's Morse Code Day. This is the day that it was invented or celebrated. And then, get this one. This is one of my faves. National Prime Rib Day. Oh, baby. I love prime rib. Come on. horseradish sauce. Oh, see, I'm a horseradish guy because I was Jewish. You had to. It was like you know how they give you baby food when you were a baby. Mm-hmm. They did that only it was horseradish. No, wow. I'm kidding.
Believe it or not, I had my first prime rib 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was your first prime rib. Did you like it?
Oh, I thought it was so great.
It's so great. There's a place we used to go to many, many moons ago. I don't even know if it's still there. And I'm talking 30 plus years ago, 35 years ago, called Durant's in Phoenix, Arizona. Just the big, big, big. Oh, so good. All right. I got to stop thinking about that. I'm supposed to go to the gym. Today is also, now here we'll get some negative feedback on this. People, don't be negative about stuff like this, okay? Today is Devil Dogs Day. That's Devil Dogs as in the treat that consists of two layers of food cake with cream sandwich between them. Drake Bakeries, known as Drake's Cakes. They invented that in 1926. Those are, you know, you have the two cakes and then you have cream in between them. Right? It's like, okay, that's fine. Also today, in 1981 on this day, the computer mouse was introduced. So you think that's been around for a long time, not that long. And then, finally in 1897, Grant's tomb was dedicated. And then finally in 1986, Captain Midnight jams HBO. This happened in 1986. A video pirate overrode the HBO movie broadcast because they were mad because HBO was charging for their monthly service. That's long gone. Now they charge for everything. Hey, we charge for water. It's just making... Okay. All right. All right. Is there anything else we need to cover? Okay. So we got that. That's a tough trivia question. The Apostle John, he wrote Revelation. He wrote the Gospel of John. What other books in the Bible did he write? All towards the end. In the meantime, I want to share something from Pastor Ray. Pastor Ray is a good friend of mine. He is author of This Day, which is a devotional. Plus, he writes a devotional that goes beyond that. And he's also an author of multiple books. He's the pastor of Maranatha Chapel in Escondido, California. It's about, I don't know if he's got 8,000-10,000 people in the church or something like that. Great guy. Really, we have great kindred spirit. Let me read to you his writings because he's the one who wrote it, and then we'll comment from there. Here's what it says. This is out of Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Anchor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth. Hosea the prophet married a prostitute who betrayed him by selling herself back into prostitution, even after bearing him three children. The Lord told Hosea to buy her back and to love her, and he taught him how by his example. The Lord led his people out into the wilderness to punish them for their grievous backsliding, to strand them in the desert to die for betraying him? No. To allure his beloved. Allure implies a healthy, passionate love. True love is no less captivating than infatuation. It is more so. The desert wilderness is lonely and painful. And the Valley of Achor represents deep sorrow. But those hard places are where we discover the tender mercies of God. Listen to that line that Ray wrote. I'm going to repeat it. Those hard places are where we discover the tender mercies of God. Like the children of Israel, like Hosea's wife, we forget who loves us when we get caught up in the glitter of prosperity or the distractions of the world. The Lord in his faithfulness and in his faithful love has led us at times into the desert, away from everything, where nothing else can distract, just to speak tenderly and to remind us of his love. He allowed Israel to walk through the valley of sorrow to a place of no hope, where he could heal her affliction and grief. So he asks a question, Pastor Ray does. Is God dealing with you through affliction? Has he led you to a desert? Do you feel humbled and stripped of the comfort and blessings you once enjoyed? He promises to restore the vineyards, meaning the physical blessings. He will give you hope in the midst of sorrow, and he will see you singing again in youthful joy. God sends Hosea to find his wife and love her back to himself, and that is exactly what God does for us. Pursues us and loves us back into his blessings. He doesn't give up on us. And for some of us out there who've gone through this, and you've probably gone through it more than one time, it's easy to think that when you're in a desert kind of place that the Lord is either angry or he's just disappointed or he just doesn't want to deal with you anymore, and that is never the case. The love of the Lord endures forever. His goodness is everlasting. He doesn't take you out into a desert to hurt you. I know, it's so hard to think that way. Just like it's hard for a child to understand that sometimes when a parent disciplines, it's for their overall well-being. But remember, when God disciplines, he does it perfectly. There's no ulterior motive. There's nothing else going on except the perfection of parenting. And if you're one of those people that are in affliction, listen to what I'm going to say. God doesn't love you one bit less right now than the first day you said yes. He loves you just the same. His love is perfect. Maybe it's a hard time for reasons you just don't understand. Maybe God's working something in you. Maybe he's working something around you. We talked about God even using earlier in the show persecution as an opportunity to share witness, to share testimony. Maybe the things that are going on are just beyond the pale and you just don't understand. That's okay. God knows you don't understand. He's still with you. He's still for you. When Jesus Christ became a human being, he didn't say, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to really stick with you. The opposite. He got the name God for us in the name Emmanuel. He never gives up on his kids, ever. Think of it that way. All right, in answer to the trivia question was, in the New Testament, the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John and Revelation. What else did he write? The other three books that he wrote were 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. He actually wrote 5 books in the New Testament. Quite a bit of writing. Yes? Yes. All right. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, this is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this, "Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will surrender you." I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him, and he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind, and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed, and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. There are four Gospels. 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Which two of the Gospel writers walked with Jesus for the years as known as one of the disciples or one of the 12 apostles? Which two Gospels are represented by those that hung out with Jesus? That's the question. You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483, so you can call in to the 972 number, or you can text in to the 214 number. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Which two hung out with Jesus? Okay, so if you're those four, which two of those four were of the 12 disciples? In the meantime, we have a Greek word that we want to share, and we'll do that. And then we'll do our website, and then we'll do the closing teach. So let's get our Greek music out. Can we pull that together? That's our Greek music. I didn't say we did everything high. It's high dollar. I'm sure it is. That's a great way to say that. Okay, here you go. Ready? The phrase brotherly love. Here is the Greek word, Philadelphia. Wait, Philadelphia? Isn't that a city in Pennsylvania? Philadelphia? Right. The word Philadelphia means brotherly love, which is why it's called the city of brotherly love. The Greek is Philadelphia, and that is from phileo, to love, and adelphos, brother. Word denotes the love of brothers, fraternal affection. In the New Testament, it describes the love Christians have for one another Christians. That's why it's called Philadelphia. The Philadelphia is the Greek word for brotherly love. There you go. Something that some people knew and something that some people didn't. There you go. All right. Let's do the website real quickly. I just want to remind people to check that out. There's many cool things on there if you've never been on there. And then there's a form on there you can fill out if you want to reach out to us. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, get ready for a doctorate level teaching. Ooh. Ready? You're going to hear this. This is a doctorate level teaching. Actually, it comes out of this book. I have to read between 4 to 6 books every 8 weeks for my doctorate. And some of the books are really good, and some of the books are really like you know, I feel like I should get a crown of life or part of a crown just for reading the book. Anyway, this author has one of those books that's really hard to read, but he had a great line, and I want to utilize that and share it with you. Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 12, 13, and 14. Here we go. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let me share with you, that's a lot of big words to say this. The law pronounced Jesus Christ as cursed. Because the scripture says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So the cross, as you know, made of wood, came from a tree. A lot of people don't make that connection, but it's really important to understand. So understand that anybody who hung on a tree, was crucified, was cursed. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So what the law declared as a curse, watch this, God declared beyond the law a source of blessing. This is where the theology gets deep and you really get into it. In Jesus Christ, the blessing of Abraham has come to the Gentiles so that the Gentiles can receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Before Jesus hung on the tree, there he was not under any breach of the law because he never sinned. He then was hung on the tree, hung on the cross, and by implication, him being on the tree, on the cross, he became a curse. He was cursed. And the law defined him as cursed because he was on the cross. But God turned that curse into a blessing. And that's the point I want to make to you, which is phenomenal, especially if you're into theology. The law pronounced the crucified Christ as a curse, but God pronounced him the source of blessings. And what you and I think is the end of something or the destruction or something or the curse of something does not take God, apparently, very much to turn it into a blessing. The thing that you think would be the worst can turn out to be the best. And if you need some biblical examples, let's just use Saul before he became Paul, who was actively seeking to destroy the church. And then God got a hold of his heart on the road to Damascus, and he became a builder of the church. So in the beginning, before God got involved, Saul, before he was renamed Paul, was a church destroyer. And when God was done, he was a church builder. And what we think is going to be the end and the curse, God is able to make the blessing. And so the reason that I'm talking to you about this is because from a theological point of view, the law defined Jesus as cursed, but God defined Jesus as the source of blessing for you and I. And what we need to do, and one of the hardest things, I pray for this every day in my devotions, just so you can know, is that I can get a perspective that's closer to God's than my own perspective. I pray that actually that, and I do this in my actual devotions, I ask that God would merge his perspective into my perspective that I might have a better perspective. It's not that I'm not going to see things. Of course I'm going to see things. Of course I'm going to put them in my filter. But what I can't do is look at that filter and separate God out of it. I need to insert God into it, so to speak. And I know it's a terrible way to say it, but I just don't know any other way to say it better. I need to see with God. I need to have his perspective merge into my perspective so I can at least get closer to the right perspective. Because on my own, that doesn't work out very good. As many of you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Much of our angst comes from us leaning on our own understanding. But God is bigger than your understanding. He's brighter. He's more loving than you know. He's more full of grace and more full of mercy and more full of kindness than your mind or that my mind can even entertain. And what God does is he takes what is disastrous and turns it into a blessing. And you think, well, how can he do that? Well, number one, he's God. Okay. And then number two, we don't get it. We're not at his level. We're not on his sphere. We don't walk with him at that same way. He's wiser than us. He knows everything. We've talked about it before. He's an interlinear being. He exists in all time frames at once. We're, point A, point B, birth, death. And so the idea behind that is that we understand that God can take something that even he has declared by his word and move so far past what we can see, he turns it into something awesome. It's like God takes the bad and turns it into rad. I know that's a cheesy term, but it's a good one, you know? It's almost as though the Lord said, you know how this is a terrible thing and this is not working out? Watch what I do with this. And then he changes it. And then you sit there and you scratch your head and you go, how'd that happen? Right? How do you do that? Of course, we should just be going, thank you for doing that, instead of trying to figure out all the angles that God coordinated to do that. But that's not the point. The point is God will take that which we think is going to be a curse and turn it into a source of blessing because he can and because he loves us. So let me answer the trivia, and then I'm going to pray for everybody real quickly. All right, so the trivia question was Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, which of the two hung out with Jesus? The answer was Matthew and John. Mark is in the gospel but didn't hang out with Jesus the same way as the 12 disciples, and then Luke is the physician who did more of the recording, although some people think that Mark got a lot of his stuff from Peter, so and that's a high likelihood, but that's not the point. Matthew and John of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were two of those four were two actual disciples of Jesus for the 12 disciples. All right, let me pray for you real quickly. Father, right now, I just pray for those that are really struggling that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we would begin to trust you a little more to understand how you can take something that's a curse, something that's hard, something that's negative, something that's frustrating, and turn it into a blessing because you can. And we believe that you can do anything. And we ask you to do that thing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.